The Anton Savage Show
with Kearies.ie
on News Talk.
Now, Eleanor Galvin is with us. Good morning, Eleanor.
Good morning, Anton.
I should give her proper title. Dr. Eleanor Galvin is with us, and she is our resident GP. So if you have any questions that you want answered, like one that says, Anton, can you ask the doctor about vertigo? My mother is suffering badly with it. Is there a cure? So if you have any questions like that, 53106, that'll cost you 30 cents, or you can use WhatsApp for free, 087 1400 106, or if there is something longer or even more private, anton@newstalk.com is where you can send it if you want to go to an email. All right, let's start with that one, Eleanor, about vertigo. Vertigo is dizziness, is that it?
Yeah, it's a very unpleasant dizziness that can also be associated with vomiting. Vertigo should always be looked at in the fact that sudden onsets of dizziness and nausea are generally vertigo, but can be brain tumours. And that's the same with all sorts of things. They always can be something worse.
Why is it, though, that when you Google them, it always gives you the something worse?
Oh, well, that's the nature of Google. So generally, he's talking about his mum. She's probably an older lady. Sometimes they can get vertigo. It's really unpleasant. It won't kill you in itself, vertigo, but you could fall over. And that's where the danger lies, especially if you get out of bed at night or you move from one position to another, because usually your ears tell you what's up, and that's kind of a bit knocked out for vertigo, hence why you're kind of like totally at sea the whole time. So in the dark, they fall over.
Which can be significant for if you're older, if you break something.
Top of the stairs, do you know, or in a bathroom. There is medication for it. You can go to specialist physios who do the special manoeuvre of shaking your head in certain ways, and they
sort of reset you.
They reset you, and they can be very successful. And if it's not settling with a while, sometimes people need their head to be scanned. They need to have something else excluded. It can be viral, so sometimes they can pick up a virus and they can have vertigo for a while. Very unpleasant, but should pass. But new episodes of vertigo, maybe younger people, are persistent ones, you would investigate them.
Another one says, I have a petechial rash on feet. How can I clear it?
Petechial rashes on feet are one of those things that's hard to know what it is. So they're tiny little purplish spots, less than kind of between 2 and 4 millimetres, teeny tiny purple spots, and they're from bleeding from capillaries into your skin. So they could be from terribly tight shoes that don't fit you. They could be from rare autoimmune disorders. Endocarditis, scarlet fever, COVID used to give people tiny purfly feet.
Tiny purfly spots on their feet,
yeah,
as opposed to tiny purfly feet.
Tiny purfly feet. make your feet smaller, that'd be a new one. Allergic rashes, infective disorders. It could be one of anything. So again, if it doesn't clear up, it would be one that would be worth going seeing a GP and probably getting a few blood tests.
A text saying, I am 49. I'm on HRT for 1.5 years and losing hair. Ooh. Is there anything I can do? Is that common with HRT?
Well, I don't think the HRT is probably making her lose the hair, but maybe she's not on enough HRT. And not that the HRT is a cure for everything, but I think sometimes it is a cure for nearly everything. So generally, your estrogen dropping can be the cause of your hair loss. So she might be on a big enough dose, but again, she should be checked for things like anemia, hypothyroidism, low iron, because that could be affecting her hair. So it might be just that she thinks, because she's a 49-year-old lady, it might be a menopause thing, but it could be something different. And have also somebody look at her scalp to see that there's something funny going on, or what pattern her baldness is coming in, and also what kind of hair her mother has. Because we all end up with the same hair our mother has.
Women end up with the same hair their mother has? Well,
yeah,
I suppose
it does. Yeah. You know, if the women in your household always kind of get thinner hair as they're kind of 50s, 60s, and have quite sparse hair as they grow older, you can buy all the snake oil in the world and take as big a dose of HRT as you want. But that's just the way it goes in your family.
Hair loss must be very difficult for a woman.
Very personal for people.
Because at least if you're a man, there is an expectation that it happens to a lot of men. A worst case scenario, you can shave the head and be done with it, and that's grand. You can look quite good with it.
Yeah.
And challenging for a woman.
Yeah, very challenging for women. And also they're very prey to using a whole load of different things and buying things and going funny places for funny promises of big heads of luscious hair, which doesn't happen. There are hair systems out there that are amazing. And I've some patients who have them, and I wouldn't know that they're in a hair system. Like, it's not a wig, it's a hair system. Well, it's
but it's a very good.
Oh, man, yeah. No one would know in a million years. And before you'd fill yourself up taking all sorts of things, sometimes you can try these things, you can be checked for everything, but sometimes it's a bit of, it's just a bit of an acceptance thing.
Here's a bit of a challenging one. I suspect the answer may be no, but we will ask it nonetheless. Is there any treatment for dry macular degeneration? And macular degeneration is that bit at the back of the retina where you begin to get a blind spot in the centre of your vision.
Yeah. And there's dry and there's wet, and I'm not an expert in either. But if you have something that is that serious with your eye, it's to an eye specialist. You should be going and regularly. And if there's anything there, they will be able to provide it.
Well, do you know what? In an unusual turn up, if I heard rightly from the promo earlier on, Bobby Kerr is going to have a load of ophthalmologists or optometrists. I'm never sure which one is which. So we'll hang on to that one, give it to Bobby, and you might get an answer from it out of Down to Business. Another one. If you have a problem with a gallbladder and you don't get it removed, can you get diabetes from it? And what are the signs of diabetes apart from thirst and tiredness?
Well, you could potentially get diabetes from gallstones, but it'd be really unlikely. If it travelled down your common bile duct and blocked your pancreas, and that happened loads of times, your pancreas got inflamed and then it got scarred. But it'd be a very unlikely thing to happen in a first world country for where you generally get your gallstones out if you had a gallstone. But it could
happen. Is a gallstone and a bladder stone the same thing, or are they different?
A gallstone is in your gallbladder.
But your gallbladder is not your bladder?
No. That's down in your pelvis. Once your pelvis goes up onto your liver. So if you had a gallstone, it could travel just down across to your pancreas, cause it to be inflamed, get scarred, stop making insulin right, and then you'd have a type of diabetes. Generally doesn't happen. More likely, if you had recurrent pancreatitis from other forms, generally drinking, you can end up with an insulin deficient state where you'd be diabetic. One of the big things that about diabetic people who are newly diagnosed is an awful lot of them lose weight, and sometimes people are delighted when they lose weight. So if I ask you, have you lost any weight recently? And you say, oh yeah, I lost 10 pounds. Well, I'm horrified without even trying. Then you've probably got diabetes. So they turn into like water processing plants, where all they can do is they can drink and wee, washing out all the sugar out of themselves, and they're losing weight. And that is one of the big telltale signs of somebody who's diabetic. Or also they get recurrent infections or kidney infections, urinary infections, because they're piddling sugary water. And that's a lovely medium for bacteria. So they're kind of things that you would watch out for. But the weight loss, excessive drinking and peeing and tiredness, they're all kind of signs of diabetes. But any weight loss that comes to you without trying for it is never a great sign.
It's funny, I remember my father years ago, he sort of self-diagnosed with cancer. He said that he was he was working in France at the time. I remember telling him he was sitting on the edge of a river and the penny dropped. And he said that one of the main things was he'd always been a big man. He had dropped something like 14 pounds in the preceding 3 months and thought, hang on a minute, this isn't right. Texter say, while I have not yet received a proper diagnosis, I think I've been experiencing premature ventricular contractions. While my GP says he thinks it's that, whenever I have worn a halter monitor or gone for a scan, nothing has shown up. It's still quite disconcerting when I'm lying down at night and my heart skips and jumps. Will my heart begin to fatigue due to this, or is it as benign as I've been led to believe? There's a lot to unpack here. A, what's a premature ventricular contraction? B, what's a halter monitor?
Premature ventricular contraction, or we'll call them PVCs. PVCs are an extra beat in your heart that can come from having an underlying heart disorder, which he probably doesn't have because he's had scans and they've been normal. So when you're sitting there in your chair and all of a sudden your heart goes and gives a few fast beats and a thump, it is really alarming.
Oh, is it when it does that sudden boom thing out of the blue?
Yeah, so that's PVCs. So they're extra kind of little runs of beats, which can be very distracting, alarming, all the rest of it, but they can come because you're stressed. And then, of course, the more you have funny beats and bangs in your chest, the more stressed you'll be. So it's adrenaline can run them, like exercise, cocaine, a big one, alcohol, anything that would make your heart run fast. And it's very alarming.
I take it the general medical advice is avoid cocaine.
Absolutely. I'd rather shoot myself. There's just the amount of people we see at the moment coming in saying my heart is beating funny. Oh, right. Oh, after your cocaine, was it? This is not great.
Do patients admit it?
Oh, they do.
Do they?
They do. They do. And I think there is a sort of an acceptance in some that it's somewhat normal, and it's not. Do you know, it's not. And it is very dangerous. So not a lot of people having strokes at a young age from it, all sorts of things. Anyway, that not a good idea. And if you're having funny heart runs, don't drink coffee, don't do drugs, minimise your alcohol and minimise your stress. if you've had a Holter monitor, which is a monitor you wear for a few days to pick up if you have a genuine arrhythmic heart, and it says what you have is a PVC, then that's what you have. You can take tablets to stop it. So if it is very alarming and distressing, which it is, you can take a beta blocker. So some people will be reassured by that, less stressed, and they'll go away. Or they'll drink, they'll stop coffee and it'll go away. Some people it won't, and they'll take a tablet and the world is right again. Their heart won't wear out. Their heart won't wear out from it, unless it was like 24/7, in which case it's a problem. But just an ordinary PVCs, it's just one of them things.
We were speaking earlier about small purple feet. We have another foot-related one. I have a lot of unsightly spider veins on my feet and ankles. Is there any treatment available for this?
Yeah, probably not in a medical office as such, but there's an awful lot of medical lasers in aesthetic medicine clinics where
you zap the veins.
You zap the veins, and it works really nicely.
Is it painful?
I'd say everything's painful. I would say it's not that awful. If your spider veins are bothering you, it's probably like being flicked with a rubber band.
Of all the places, though.
Yeah.
Still?
No, I think probably well worth doing if it bothers you.
What's an afternoon being flicked with a rubber band if it gives you the feet that you've always wanted?
Absolutely.
A text asking, are there any side effects associated with antihistamines? Antihistamines are what? Stop you swelling. Is that what an antihistamine is?
Antihistamines stop the release of histamine, which causes an allergic reaction. So swelling, kind of sneezing, kind of coughs from...
Hay fever
and that sort of thing. Little kind of sun rashes where people come out in those sort of funny rashes from the sun. Heat, prickly heat, that sort of thing.
I've always been suspicious of antihistamine. I think antihistamines are the modern version of aspirin. Take two of them and call me in the morning. Now, take an antihistamine, that means go away.
No, they're not.
Are they not?
They're very efficient. And you'll see them sometimes for weird rashes like urticaria, where you come out in big blotchy red rashes and you give them a few antihistamines and they're right as rain.
So I take it back.
Are people who have kind of low level allergies, it does good. People can get drowsy and have dry mouths for them, stomach upsets. And you shouldn't give them to people with heart problems. So those people with PVCs and things, it can make them worse, even though it's not a heart problem. And not for very small children, which we used to give them to very small children, but we don't now because of the whole heart bit.
Same true of aspirin, of course. You never give aspirin to kids.
Or even up to 15, 16 years of age, no.
Our resident GP, Dr. Eleanor Galvin there.
The Anton Savage Show with Kiri's.ie on News Talk.